Heavenly Father, it is my prayer at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Yes, it's Pentecost, and that's one of those holidays that we oftentimes forget, don't we? Yes, there aren't Pentecost cards. We don't have a Pentecost tree. How do we remember it? I think it was 2 weeks ago on our way to church, Robin just all of a sudden, oh, isn't it Pentecost? I sure hope not. Fortunately, it wasn't. Pentecost, well, we celebrate Pentecost as being the day when we remember the Holy Spirit descending on the church. After Easter, of course, Jesus was still with his disciples for several weeks, and then finally the Holy Spirit descended. The scripture that we look at today is in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound, like the blowing of a violent wind, came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. See, this is this big miracle. When the Holy Spirit descended, it looked like tongues of fire, which is why sometimes the Holy Spirit is depicted as flame. You know, we see it depicted sometimes as a dove, sometimes as flame, sometimes as a flaming dove, like on the, that's just a dove. Okay. I've seen it depicted as a dove in flame or a dove with flame. But that's how we sometimes depict the Holy Spirit. That's how we sometimes see it as we try to picture what the Holy Spirit is. I mean, we picture God as being the large man with the white hair and the robes and the beard sitting on a throne in heaven, and we have a pretty good idea of Jesus because we see pictures of Jesus all over the place, but not so much the Holy Spirit. So we try to picture him this way. But what exactly are we talking about when we're talking about Pentecost? Believe it or not, there was Pentecost before this happened. You see, the word Pentecost means 50 days later. So what is it? What does it happen to be 50 days later from? Well, as we went through our Lenten season, I spent a lot of time talking about the Passover. Pentecost is 50 days after Passover, or more specifically, as we look at it on our calendar, it's 50 days after the Saturday after Passover. That's how we determine what it is. That way, we can always have Pentecost on a Sunday. In Hebrew, they referred to it as the Festival of Weeks, and it was a celebration of a very special event. Anybody care to guess what might have happened 50 days after the Passover, 50 days after the Exodus? It was the day that Moses came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments, the day Moses brought the law. And as we've been talking about through Lent, how things in the Old Testament were shadows of things that were going to be coming in the future, things that came in the New Testament, this descending of the Holy Spirit is in many ways very similar to Moses coming down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments. That's a shadow of what's coming. But how is that, we ask? You know, the events of the Old Testament and the New Testament really correspond with one another well, much the way, you know, Jesus' crucifixion came at Pentecost for a reason. The Holy Spirit came on Jesus' crucifixion came at Passover. Did I say Passover or did I say Pentecost? I'm getting myself all confused. Everything starts with a P. Jesus' crucifixion came at Passover for a reason, because the two events were similar to one another. And then the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost because it was so similar to the coming of the law. Now the Holy Spirit's always been there, but here's the difference. Here's how things changed on that particular Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came down as tongues of flame, and as Christians, we are now able to have the Holy Spirit within us. Now, throughout the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was there, and the Holy Spirit is mentioned, and the Holy Spirit is with people, but not within them. The Holy Spirit was with King David. The Holy Spirit was with Moses. The Holy Spirit was with the prophets, but the Holy Spirit wasn't in them. The Holy Spirit being with us, within us, is able to do so much more than just whisper in our ears. The Holy Spirit can do a pretty good job of getting our attention. You ever get that? That one of the great things that the Holy Spirit is good for us for, much as the Ten Commandments were good for us for, is reminding us when we're doing something wrong. Do you ever get that? That feeling in the gut of your stomach that, you know, right as you're doing something or just did something or you're just about to do something, that something grabs a hold of your gut and just twists it to get your attention that you better stop or you better say you're sorry or something of that nature? Never happened to you? Some people will call that your conscience. There's a difference between the Holy Spirit and the conscience. Everybody's got a conscience. Maybe. I think there's probably some people out there that don't. If you watch the news long enough, you'll figure that out. But people who don't believe in God still have a conscience to a point where they might know something's wrong. They might not care, but they're going to know it's wrong. But we've got the Holy Spirit there to remind us that there's a sin going on. Again, at the same time, we have the opportunity to ignore the Holy Spirit, and a lot of people do. The Holy Spirit is that aspect of God that we don't talk about a whole lot in church, and that's unfortunate because, you know, we refer to the Trinity, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always comes last. The Holy Spirit we refer to as the third person in the Trinity. And I just want to make sure you all know it's not because the Holy Spirit is the least important. The Holy Spirit is just as important as God the Father. The Holy Spirit is just as important as Jesus Christ. In fact, the Holy Spirit is that part of God that indwells us, that lives within us, and reminds us that He's there. It's the part of God that speaks to us. It's the part of God that, quite honestly, we have the closest relationship to, and still we don't talk about Him a whole lot. But it reminds us, much as the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, okay, here's Moses with the Ten Commandments, this list of the things you do and don't do, that reminder. And the Holy Spirit, part of the Holy Spirit's job is to do the same thing, to give us that remembrance, to remind us that maybe we're doing something wrong, that we need to take a look at what we're doing. The miracle that occurred at Mount Sinai when Moses came down with the law was a great miracle. If we look back in the book of Exodus, the story is in Exodus chapter 34, verses 1 through 22. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to pick up at verse 5. The Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generations. Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshipped. O Lord, if I have found favor in your eyes, he said, let the Lord go with us, although this is a stiff-necked people. Forgive our wickedness and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. You see, there's that forgiveness and that understanding, the understanding that the covenant that God made with Moses that day reminds us of the covenant that we have with Christ. You see, the miracle that happened later, the Holy Spirit descending, the tongues of flame, and the people who were gathered there went out and spoke in languages that they didn't know. This is one of the many gifts that the Holy Spirit can bestow upon people. There are many of them, and I will probably get to those at some point. But in particular, this day, what concerns us this day is the fact that they were speaking in these other languages, because there happened to be people there in Jerusalem that day from all corners of the Roman Empire. And these people from Galilee were speaking in their languages, and they were able to understand what they said. and they were able to hear and understand the truth about Jesus, the truth about God. I mean, it says that these people were Jews, so they believed in God, but they finally heard the truth about Jesus. I'm reminded as I wasn't there for this, but there was a young lady I knew in college who she was majoring in Chinese language. And she had been studying Chinese for 4 years, and she was pretty fluent in speaking the language, technically illiterate. She could barely read any of it, but she could carry on a conversation, and she was able to understand and identify accents. I guess as you go in those things, you understand different dialects and things like that. And she was walking across the campus of the University of Pittsburgh, and there was a man standing on the corner preaching. You ever see those guys standing on the street corner preaching, just yelling out the truth about Jesus Christ for anybody who's in earshot, and they hope somebody's going to listen? Well, she was actively trying to avoid this guy, but she didn't want to go as far as to go across the street and then cross two more streets in order to get where she was going. So she was just trying to hurry past him. He stopped her and said to her, "You need to listen to what I'm saying because I'm talking to you." And he said it in Chinese, and he didn't know Chinese. It was the miracle that got his attention, just as these people got to see the miracle of these other people who didn't know their languages speaking to them in their language, because the Holy Spirit of God was in them. They were able to do these things. They were able to learn the truth. They were able to find salvation. And one day we will see them in heaven. It amazes me to think of that. Think back to what it is that got your attention the first time. I mean, I know for many of us, we were raised in church. We were probably dragged into church by our parents when we were small and didn't have a whole lot of say in the matter. But there was some point in our lives where we had the opportunity to walk away and we chose not to. Or perhaps we did walk away and at some other point in our lives we chose to come back because somehow God got our attention. Something happened to get our attention. It might just have been a miracle. I know even though I grew up in church, I had a lot of questions and they weren't being answered. Anybody at church that I would go to and ask these questions to, they couldn't give me an answer. Until finally one night I was listening to somebody speaking and he answered every question I had. And the answers were reasonable. And I call that a miracle. That was the day that God got my attention. Like when Moses came off the mountain. This miracle of the law, the Ten Commandments, the instructions, the way for Israel to live, and for us, the Holy Spirit that indwells within us. Yeah, we might not speak in foreign tongues that we don't understand, and that's okay. We might not perform all these miracles that they performed back then. They still go on today, but you know, maybe we don't. I want to share, I'm still giddy about church this morning. I was praying with a man in our church who he's on oxygen. He had lung cancer, didn't he? He had lung cancer. And he's having difficulty breathing, and he's on the oxygen right now. He had a beautiful singing voice, and that was his favorite way to praise God, was to sing. And he and I were praying together, and he was telling me that he's bothered by the fact that he can't sing anymore, because that was his favorite way to praise God, was to sing. But he doesn't have the voice. He can't gather up enough breath to make it through a hymn all the way. And he and I were praying together, and I'm one of those people who you know, I'll tell you flat out that anytime somebody comes up to me, and I'm going to recommend this to anybody here, anytime somebody comes up to you and says, "God told me to tell you this," listen to them, and then you need to figure out if God really told them to tell you that, because God can tell us himself. But God told me to tell him something. God told me to tell him that it's time for him to start singing through other people, that he should write hymns. He should sit down and write hymns. That was that thing I got to experience this particular Pentecost Sunday, the miracle that I got to experience. I don't think that can be a bad thing, that we experience God in an intimate way like that. And I know this guy well enough to believe that he's going to be faithful and that he's going to test that spirit, and that he's going to give it a try. And it's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. But we need to be obedient to these things. And that's difficult sometimes. Just like it's difficult for us to obey the Ten Commandments. I mean, the Ten Commandments, a lot of people say they're just there to point out our faults. Well, it's not just there to point out our faults. We're to make an effort to follow that. We're to make an effort to be obedient to the law, just as we're compelled to be obedient to Christ as his disciples in these times today. And we need to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it's difficult because we might be asked to do things that we're not real comfortable with. Can I tell your story, Robin? How long ago was that? A couple months ago. Might have been longer. I wasn't there. I missed it. My golly, it was one of those Sundays where I was sick Sunday morning. And anytime that happens, I miss the best stuff in church. What point of the service was it? I think it was like right after prayer time before the message started. Or was it after the message? One of the men in the church stood up and started speaking in a language nobody could understand. He didn't speak this language, whatever it was. It was a prophecy. It was one of these miracles. Now, Scripture tells us that when somebody does that, there's supposed to be somebody there who can interpret it, whether they actually know the language or God gives them the words that are being spoken. And somebody needs to interpret that. And it's one of those neat miracles. It takes two people to do this miracle, to pull this off, at least two. And Robin was sitting there thinking, I know what he's saying. I don't understand this language, but he's saying this. And she thought really hard. You almost didn't stand up and say it because she was afraid. But she mustered up the courage to be faithful to what God was telling her. And she stood up and she spoke. She interpreted the words that were being spoken. And somebody else stood up and confirmed it. Sissy stood up and confirmed that word. It requires obedience, and sometimes it's difficult. It can be very difficult sometimes to be obedient to what God wants you to do, even if it's just opening your mouth and talking. We all like to do that, don't we? Sometimes more than we should. But this obedience is necessary for the miracles to happen. And miracles always happen in public. That's one of the things we need to remember about miracles, is that they happen in public. They're not private affairs. Because the point of a miracle... Does anybody know anybody here who has had a miracle healing? Maybe you've got somebody with cancer and it's gone. They go to, you know, that you've got this horrible cancer going through you and you've got 6 months to live. We'll see you in 3 months for another appointment. They go back and it's gone. There's no sign of cancer. And the doctors stand there and they say, how did that happen? I don't understand. Well, we understand it was God. It was a miracle because miracles happen, but they don't happen in private. Because the point of the miracle, the point of that person being healed from the cancer wasn't so that they could get better. The point of that miracle was so that God could be glorified. And we need to remember when miracles happen in our lives, we need to remember to give God the glory because the miracles come from God. And the whole point of the miracle is to glorify God, to give us the opportunity to talk about, hey, this happened to me or this happened to my friend. Let me tell you what God did. Well, we've spoken here about what God did, bringing all of these people that were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they ask, are not these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? And then there's a whole list of the nations, some of which I would mispronounce if I read the list, but that's not the point. There were all of these people hearing the truth, reacting to the truth. Some made fun of them, and some said they have had too much wine. I don't know how much wine you'd have to drink to start speaking in Cappadocian if you didn't know the language. But people came to know the Lord that day because some men and women were not afraid to be obedient. There were people in Moses' day that came to understand God better because they were not afraid to be obedient to the law. They were able to live better lives. They were able to prosper in the land for generations. because they chose to be obedient. We have that choice to make, not just every day, but many times a day, to be obedient to that whisper in our ears. It may not be an audible voice, but it's definitely God speaking to us in some way, calling us to something, maybe to write hymns like my friend, maybe to tell someone who needs to hear it, the story of Jesus Christ, maybe to listen to someone who just needs someone to talk to show them the love Christ would have us share with one another. It'd be so much easier for each of us if somebody could stand up here and tell you what it is God wanted you to do today. But I got to do it once today. I don't know if I'll ever have that opportunity again. But again, if anybody ever comes up to you and says, this is what God wants you to do, test it. Make sure. There was a time I was walking around downtown and some guy walked right up to me, a homeless man, and just shouted in my face, Jesus Christ commands you to give me $5. Well, if Jesus was commanding me to give you $5, he would know I don't have $5. Sorry. But somebody tells you, you need to test that. But even if it's a feeling within you that you feel, I need to do this, maybe you need to test it, or maybe you just need to do it. You need to find out. You need to be obedient to that. There have been times I have felt compelled to do things for God that turns out, maybe I wasn't supposed to do that. But more often than not, the more I seek him, the more I know that he is calling me to do certain things because they're being fruitful. I'm testing them. I'm trying to be obedient. And as we look on the story of this particular Pentecost, we need to remember that as well. To be obedient as the Holy Spirit leads us. Amen.
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
Well, the benediction is the good and final word, and we put that at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And I think trust and obey are pretty good final words for us today. To remember those things. I mean, again, we have the opportunity to not trust and obey. It took me a long time to learn to trust God. I felt called to ministry as a teenager, and I started into college for it, and failed public speaking right off the bat and thought there's no way I can be a pastor if I can't get up in front of people and speak because I didn't trust God. It took me a lot of years, way too many years to learn to trust God enough to stand up in front of people and let him speak through me. And it takes us being obedient. You know, God just doesn't pull our strings and make us do things. We have to be willing to do those things that he wants us to do, whether we think we're good at them or not, whether it's something we want to do or not. I even remember sitting in the service listening to someone talk about the Kairos Prison Ministry, and I remember, they announced that he was getting started. I remember nudging Robin and saying, there's no way I'm doing prison ministry. And as soon as he was done talking, Robin nudges me back and she says, you're going to prison, aren't you? I said, yes, I am. Sometimes I think that might be the way to figure out what it is God wants you to do. What do you really not want to do? Maybe that's what he wants you to do. Think about that this week. This service is over. Your trust and obedience may now begin. Go from this place and be blessed. Amen.